Hello, and welcome to CRO Insights, How CROs Win, the podcast that uncovers the key markers of successful revenue leadership, brought to you by the CRO Collective in partnership with the Revenue Operations Alliance. In each episode, we'll explore the CRO career path, the major challenges facing CROs today, and discover strategies for building aligned revenue engines that scale your company's growth. So welcome to the CRO Insights podcast. This is Warren Zenna. I'm with the Revenue Operations Alliance and the founder of the CRO Collective. And this podcast, we talk about all things Chief Revenue Officer, where we talk to CROs about the job, about the complexities of the job, success factors of the job, and how to make sure that a CRO succeeds in the role. Today, we have a great guest, Nicholas Giddy, who is the CRO of Native Teams. And Nicholas is from Lisbon. And he comes to us from Europe, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you. Hi, Nicholas. Welcome. So tell me a little about your background and about your role.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the invite, Warren, as well as the flexibility for the date. I really do appreciate that. Just to say a couple of things about myself. Nico. I am a Brazilian living in Portugal. I've been working in the tech industry for the past 14 years now. I started in this industry quite early. My first job as a salesperson for a tech company, I was 18 years old, really at the beginning. It was a small tech company based in Joinville, my city in Brazil. And I joined as the first salesperson for that company. I stayed there for 3 years. It was not a startup, no funding, no VC, nothing. It was like a proper regular tech company. The owners, they were basically consultants on process and project management, and they decided to create a small SaaS project for project management. And being the first salesperson for that specific software was amazing because small company, being the first salesperson, you ended up doing a little bit of everything. Sales, pre-sales, working with the CRM. I was helping the marketing manager running Facebook ads. And doing courses to understand how to make that work. I was doing the onboarding and implementation in local on customers. So we kind of learned a lot in a short period of time, which I was always very grateful. And since then, like most of the CROs, I believe my career is the backbone is sales. I've worked for many different companies. I've been bouncing around for quite a bit. We can talk more about that soon. And, you know, the pros and cons of having so many experiences in a short period of time. But since around 2017, I started also managing marketing teams, which was something that I always had the curiosity of doing. One of the second company that I worked for, it's called RD Station. I was still in Brazil at the time. And what they are, it's basically the HubSpot for Latin America. The story behind this company, it's quite interesting because the CEO a long time ago knocked on HubSpot door and said, look, I think there's an amazing opportunity to come to Brazil. I have an agency. I can represent you guys. Would you like to come? HubSpot at the time said no. And then he decided to create his own version of HubSpot, but for the Latin America market. And it became super successful. The company was sold recently to Totus, a big group. And it was very interesting because well, they were selling inbound marketing and preaching inbound marketing to the Brazilian market. And I was there at the early stages of the company. I was, I think, the 50th person to join. And since 2017, I've been also managing marketing teams, mainly for fintechs and SaaS companies. My experience is split between both. And my first time managing a marketing team was quite interesting as well. It's for a company called eBanks. It's a payment, cross-border payments company offering cross-border payments and local payments in Latin America and other emerging markets. And I joined, I think it was 25 years at the time, as the head of sales and marketing for that specific company to work on their global operations. And I was managing the marketing team, the demand generation marketing team. So nothing related to content, social media or branding, just related to lead generation and demand generation. And I really liked it. It was great. I learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes. It is completely different from managing sales teams, but I wanted to keep on doing that. And if we cut down to who I am at the moment, I've been working as a CRO for the past 2 years. This is my second company on the role. The first time was for a small startup, small fintech, managing a small team of 5 to 6 individuals spread around sales and marketing. So a lot of hands-on. And currently at Native Teams, I have a proper revenue team divided between sales, marketing, CS, revenue ops, and partnerships, around 80 people on the team at the moment, with different challenges, still making different mistakes and learning from them. And which is something new for me, managing B2B and B2C, which is my career was mainly B2B focused up until this moment. And it has been a great journey to be able to lead a revenue team that is also doing B2C sales.
Great. Well, thank you. There's a lot to unpack there. Let me ask you some questions about that. So one thing you mentioned in there is you said something interesting to me. You said that something related to the pathway to chief revenue officers is from sales. Do you think that that's locked and loaded? Do you think that's necessary? Or do you think that the role could accommodate people that aren't from sales?
I think it's it is helpful. I wouldn't say it's necessary. I feel like for me, it has been helpful because, well, if you think about my team today, the sales team, it's 50% of the team. It takes a lot of time and a lot of knowledge. And, you know, by earning my stripes as a salesperson at the beginning and understanding how they work, it really helps me win the trust from that team, from the VP of sales that I have and the rest of the team as well. And they have one of the biggest chunks, well, 60% of our revenue is based on new sales. So it does take a lot of my time, but I wouldn't say it's mandatory. I see that being able to, you know, talk to sales in the same level, it's great. But a lot of what we're doing, for example, today, almost 90% of our new sales is based on the marketing efforts, which means that if you don't own that knowledge and you are an amazing salesperson, but you're missing that piece of the puzzle to, you know, how can I help the VPs who in the end hold the technical knowledge to make things work? I have two on the marketing team today. We won't be able to scale as fast as we needed to. So I feel like the sales experience, it is important, but I don't think it's that mandatory. And the CRO position is so new and it's different for everyone. Everyone that I talk to has a different conception of what a CRO should be, what they should be leading. And ultimately, as a C-level position leading one specific area, which is revenue, which is composed of many different teams, in the end, I think most of the job is based on your management and strategy skills. How can you tie all of those different teams into one specific goal and keep them focused on that specific goal? And how can you support your VPs to be able to, you know, make sure that they are applying their technical knowledge in the best way possible? I think that's even more important than being an amazing salesperson. It's be able to learn how can you work with people and coach them in the right way, more than anything else.
It's interesting you say this. You said something that I agree with wholeheartedly, and that is that there are a lot of different definitions of the role of chief revenue officer, and that's sort of a unfortunate reality. I'm curious, what's your definition of a CRO?
Yeah, well, I think my definition would be that the CRO is the person responsible for the success of the customer journey. And that can vary a lot. Some CROs are managing the beginning of the customer journey or the end or the full cycle like I'm doing. But this is the way that I approach the role. To give you an example, when I joined Native Teams, they didn't have a CRO prior to that. The company was at the moment that they felt the need of hiring the first external C-levels for the first time. So they had a COO. The CEO, of course, was in the company, the founder, and they were looking for their first CRO, they were looking for a CFO and a CPO. And when I joined the company, they already had quite a decent sized sales team, around 30 sales executives, a marketing team of 15 people. So they already had something going. And when you think about the structure that we had at that moment, when I joined the company, my idea first was, let me understand what the customer journey is. One of the first exercises that I would do besides meeting the team, understanding how they work, the platforms they're using, and, you know, keeping my mind open for what are the areas for improvement, let me draw what the customer journey is at the moment. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. I want to understand where the customer is going, where is he coming from, and where he lands. And by doing that process, the bottlenecks of the customer journey, they come to you. because you have to talk to a lot of people to understand how the customer journey works at the moment, from operations, finance, product, and of course, all of the revenue areas. And by designing the customer journey, the first draft, it's what gives me the ammunition to sit back and plan the 30, 60, 90, and 180 days plan that I can work with the rest of the C-level and the CEO on, look, these are the actions that we will take to fix the customer journey or to improve the customer journey. And those actions could be varied depending on the company. Maybe should focus on sales first, customer success, marketing, or a little bit on all of them. But the way that I approach the role is, how can I optimize the customer journey as much as possible, understanding that that will lead to more revenue?
So how does that, what you describe, I agree with you, frankly, but I'm just curious your opinion as to how you differentiate what you just described from a chief customer officer or someone who runs the customer success, you know, the customer success role.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think the perception is that when I say the customer journey, I'm thinking about the customer journey from the beginning, even before the customer were a customer. What is their first touch point with my brand or with my company, since marketing up until the end, and be able to connect those two endpoints of the process completely. When you think about the CX, we have now, at the moment, we have a customer, our co-founder is also doing her role as a customer experience officer and helping us with what we need to do in terms of post-sales. It is amazing because we're able to connect whatever it is that we're doing from a sales and marketing perspective, what are the first interaction that a future customer will have with us, how he perceives the brand, what kind of information I'm collecting with my marketing activities at the beginning of the process, and how that information is going to help the sales process, that we will enrich that data, that is going to help the CS and account management team to work with that data to provide the best service possible to our existing customers. And the way that I see the difference from this role is that the chief revenue officer is looking from the end to end, from the lead up until the customer, while the customer experience officer is looking at things from the moment that a lead becomes a customer and understanding that intersection between sales and CS or account management. And all of that with a revenue background, right? Understanding how those changes or those decisions will ultimately impact the revenue generation of the company.
I agree with you. I mean, I think that my opinion is it's really how you define customer, right? I mean, a customer is either someone who's paid you already and they're in your customer pipeline and you're servicing them as a paid customer, or they're customer from a ICP perspective. There's someone who you've identified as the person you're trying to influence and become one. And I make a distinction like you do that's important. But I ask the question because, you know, as I speak to a lot of people about this, there's some, you know, there's like this controversy about whether or not if in fact the chief revenue officer owns the customer lifecycle, why don't you just have the chief customer officer or the customer success person do that? And I can understand that, but I think there's more of an account management context to a customer success person.
There is.
And I think that the customer success person represents a part of the journey that the customer is on. And there's a specific set of disciplines associated with renewals and value and delivery, you know, and problems and, you know, tickets and stuff like that. That's different than if I'm looking at the entire, because I think like if I'm a chief revenue officer and I'm looking at the world through the life cycle of a customer, I'm taking the data from all the portions of that journey and I'm having them loop back to the other ones. So I'm taking customer success insights and I'm sharing them with the marketing and the salespeople and vice versa, so that there's a benefit to all aspects of a customer's journey throughout the process, so that everyone has a similar understanding of where they are along that process. And I think that's, in my view, what's broken, what it is that's broken today about most businesses is that's not connected. There isn't someone overseeing that whole thing. And as a result, we have silos and we have, you know, sometimes three different separate versions of a customer. You know, we have got this sales version of a customer, we have a marketing version of a customer, and a customer success version of a customer. And I think this is like a bad thing for growth. So I'd ask you a question then, given that we are generally in agreement. What's the way in which you're implementing that role in your company? How is a chief revenue officer executing And what is the relationship that you have with your CEO? And I don't know, do you have a board? Do you have investors? Like, what's the relationship you have there?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Warren. Thank you. And I was going to mention at some point, you know, the role of the CRO with the board of investors and with fundraising, because it's something that I've been living through over this past 1 year and a half at Native Teams, and I think it's tightly connected. I think to begin that question, when I applied for the CRO position at Native Teams, it's funny because they had the CRO and the CMO position advertised at the same time. And one of the first questions that I asked to the CEO when we were doing the interview is, look, I saw that you're also looking for a CMO. So in that sense, is the CRO position more of a CCO position, looking for a chief commercial officer and a CMO to complement? And he said, well, we are actually trying to find the right person. If, you know, the CRO also has the capabilities of managing marketing, amazing. If not, we're ready to split. So they already had that idea in mind that they needed someone to manage both, but they didn't know exactly who they were going to get. And I think this is a testament to the, as we talked about it before, the not stable definition of what a CRO is. And of course, during the interview process, we understood that I had the profile to manage both, which I'm very happy, because when I joined the company, I saw the situation of the sales and the marketing team. I felt like, okay, especially sales and market, they needed one person to be working with them and unifying their views and goals into one thing. As you mentioned, they had silos. We tried to create one big silo and try to fast and improve the decision-making within the revenue team by having everyone under the same structure. That actually helps my job as a C-level, so I don't need to work with other C-levels to make decisions happen within my team. I do report with the CEO and consult with them, but I have the freedom to make the decisions that we feel like we need to make. And the way that the team's structured today, the company is 100% remote, so I have people on the wider revenue team in 25 different countries. We operate heavily in the US, Europe, APAC, and now starting to look to the Latin market more specifically. And it is a team that at the beginning, we didn't have a proper second tier of management. We had the C-level, a couple of heads for specific areas, but we're still young, new people. Some of them, it was their first time managing a team or with more responsibility. So it took me around 1 year to be able to understand if the people that we had on the team, they were really, you know, they were in the right position, ready to do the job, and there was a way forward for them. They could learn how to become the head offs or the VPs that I needed for the position, or if we needed to hire externally. As a CRO managing so many different functions, you need those captains. You need those VPs with the technical knowledge, because in my case, the post-sales is where I lack the most. The marketing and sales, I can handle post-sales. It's where I need help from a technical perspective. I know what's right and wrong. I can judge, but I need the technical knowledge to help. And I do expect that today, if I look at my team, my VP of sales is a way better salesperson than I am. The VP of marketing is way better a marketing a professional than I am. And this is what you kind of expect from that team. One thing that I really enjoy about Native Teams, which is connected to the role, we are a revenue first company. What do I mean by that? And I think you already saw and worked with a lot of companies that are in this similar faction. I, for at least twice in my career, worked for companies that are product first, meaning that the revenue or sales teams, they are not that involved in the decision making of the company. And it's even interesting because you feel like, you know, this should be a normal thing for every single company. But I joined so many leadership or strategic meetings within those companies where I had to ask the C-level to give me some time during the all hands to explain the importance of a sales team within the organization. Because most of the decisions were based on where the product wants to go, what we want to develop, but not thinking with a revenue mentality of where we want to take our revenue numbers, how much do we want to grow, where there is more potential for growth. And based on those directions, we're going to think about how to roll this back to the rest of the company from a product and operations perspective. And on Native Teams, we are a revenue-first company. You kind of learn which markets we want to enter, which products we want to develop based on feedback that we are receiving from the forefront of sales or customer success. And that really allows me to be closer to the decision-making in terms of where the company wants to go. And of course, the CRO position, it's highly involved with the relationship with the board of investors. We usually meet our board every 6 months, so you know, twice a year. And it is always interesting to see, because at each new round, we have no VCs joining or leaving the board. So there's always a dynamic going on of new people, new kinds of VCs, more hands-on or hands-off with different questions about the module. But the way that I see the CRO position is to really align closely with the CEO on what is the story that we want to tell for the past quarter and the future one. How can I make sure that the story that I am going to tell from a revenue perspective, what we're doing, sales, marketing, CS, account management, the wins and the mistakes that we did, matches the story that you are telling to the investors. And they tell the same story in the end, but with different components. And this is one of the main things that they want to know when we're drafting the budget and looking at the results. The CRO is usually the one that should be coming ready with the answers to the possible questions we might get in those board meetings, and more specifically with raising new funds, getting new rounds of investment. Especially during that phase, that has to be really nailed down, because usually the new investors, they have even more questions because they don't know your business, they are not familiar with your team, with who you are. So you have to overcome those challenges in order to be able to, you know, move forward with those proposals with those investors. So this is a little bit of how I see the road today at the moment and some of the challenges that I've been facing internally and externally.
Got it. Very good. So how big is the company? How many people total? And what's the, if you don't mind me asking, what's sort of like the range of your current revenues?
Yeah, we are on around 230 people at the moment. Okay. As a wider company. We are breaching the 12 million ARR currently. We have some high goals for the last quarter of this year, but this is roughly where we are at the moment.
Got it. And are you an international company? Or are you just European? Or what's your markets you serve?
Well, the main markets, from a B2B perspective, is everywhere. It's mainly the most developed regions, Europe and the US and Southeast Asia. This is where most of the employers are. Native teams, the B2B side is a EOR company. So we help companies hire internationally. In that space, US, Europe in general, and Southeast Asia are our biggest markets. I have local people in all of those regions. We do believe a lot in localized to expand. So we try to always have one or two salespeople in the markets that we hope to develop. Our APAC HQ is in Chennai, India, but we have people all over Southeast Asia, and we're looking to hire our first person in Japan at the moment. From a B2C perspective, it's a little bit the opposite. We're focused on where are the professionals that those companies usually hire. That means India, Central Europe, the Balkans region, so Eastern Europe, and Latin America. So it's kind of all over the place, to be honest, but different ICPs in different regions, geolocations, depending if it's B2B or B2C.
Got it. And were you promoted into the role, or did you come into the company as the chief revenue officer?
I came into the company as a chief revenue officer, yes.
And so when you came into the role as a chief revenue officer, how much of the onboarding and hiring of the process involved, I guess my question, if I'm trying to phrase it better, is did your company already have a consistent definition of the role as you did, or did you have to have a conversation about how to define the role before you took the job?
Yeah, that is a great question. We definitely need to have a conversation regarding the role before getting to the end. As I mentioned, they had the CRO and the CMO position open at the same time, which gave me the understanding that they didn't know exactly what to look for. And through especially the hiring process, by the end of it, we had a pretty good understanding of what, at least in general aspects, this position would be. But yeah, they didn't have it nailed down yet, which was an interesting process to be able to build that with the CEO and the rest of the team. And I think that gives you some sense of ownership when you join the company, because you also helped shape the role a little bit. It was not given to you. But this is also a testament of the company at the time not being mature enough to know exactly what they needed. They knew they had a problem, but not exactly, okay, how are we going to fix the problem? Well, maybe hiring a CRO is the right way to go. So
interesting. So do they have a CMO now, or does marketing report to you?
No, marketing reports to me.
Got it. It's interesting. So they were looking for both. You were able to recognize that there was sort of a issue there, which I agree with. I think that that makes a lot of sense. What was it you think that was that allowed you to be able to persuade the company to think about the CRO role differently than the way that they might have prior to meeting you?
Yeah. One of the main factors that I think that came into play during those discussions is, which for me is one of the main benefits of the CRO position existing, is maintaining a consistent alignment between those revenue areas. And especially because during the interview process, I understood that the marketing and the sales team, they were not in the best terms with each other, which is very normal. I think that's kind of expected, but it was to a point where they're not collaborating enough. And if they had gone with separate silos, like hiring a CMO and a CCO or a CRO to manage the other aspect of the revenue teams, I understood that that problem will only grow bigger. Even if we had an amazing alignment as a C-suite, let's say that me and a CMO would have a great alignment, we understand each other, respect each other, we work well together. In the end, the daily job is made by the team, and the team needs to be able to collaborate effortlessly. And yes, they're going to have conflicts. This is kind of expected and sometimes even instigated. I have a couple of examples that I can share later on how we instigate that, you know, that beneficial conflict between sales and marketing. But one of the main things that I discussed with them and we agreed on is, if you're already on this position where marketing and sales are not collaborating as expected, having one single leadership that is able to understand both sides, knows how to work with marketing and sales, can really help bridge the gap. Can help with decision making, can help with conflict resolution. It's someone that will be able to understand when should sales or marketing be prioritized because they understand how both of them work. And I think this was one of the reasons for the success of the role, was they had that situation. And I think adding two chefs for the kitchen would not solve it fully. This doesn't change the discussion that depending on how well the company grows and how serious things come in the future, maybe splitting the team would make sense. Maybe the customer, the marketing function needed to be managed by someone else, or maybe the sales team should be managed by someone else. But at the time and up until this moment, it made sense to remain under the same leadership. And thankfully, it worked well. Now they work really well together, which is the outcome that we wanted since the beginning.
Got it. So when you first started the role, when they agreed on the scope and they agreed to give you more or less leadership over the entire revenue operation, what did you do for the first, 30, 60, 90 days? How did you start this role in that respect? And give the listeners a little sense of some of the things that you think would be good ways to begin that process to integrate yourself and build out the right framework and foundation for yourself.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the steps that I took joining native teams, but definitely the first 30 days is based on understanding where you're landing, understanding how the teams operate today, who is who, having as many one-on-ones as I could possibly do, not only with the existing team that I would be managing, but also with the adjacent areas, product, finance, operations. Try to have as many point of views regarding how they perceive the team, how their own teams run. You know, leading a revenue team that is based on so many people, so many areas, you kind of have intersection with the whole company, from operations to finance to legal to product. Everyone has some kind of involvement with your area. And the first 30 days is about listening and understanding how the company works. And usually by doing that process, you already see what are the main gaps that you should be tackling first. To give you an example, when I sat down with the current sales leaders, I understood that they had Pipedrive, but there was no actual unified sales process. The sales team, some of them were using the CRM, some of them were not using the CRM, were just basically managing their leads through email and a spreadsheet, sometimes not even with a spreadsheet. And there was a misconception of the way that we sell. There was not one sales process that should be the standard for the company. where if we have a standard process, I can trust the data that is being generated, which can help me make more accurate decision-making. So right away during those first 15 to 30 days, first thing I identified with the sales team is we need to implement, first of all, define what should be the standard sales process, apply that to a CRM, train the sales team, because the data that I have up until this moment, I cannot trust it. Because everyone is selling in a different way. Everyone has a different understanding of what a sale is. There's not even a standard or policy on what should be considered a new customer or not. So really, really basic stuff that you can only see when you start talking to the team. It's something that most of the times you won't even be able to evaluate during the interview process. So those 30 days is to identify what are the main problems that you're going to tackle, the main bottlenecks, the main things that are going to keep you from doing the things that you know you want to do. For example, standard sales process and properly implementing a CRM, definitely the first step for the sales team, which can give you the data that you need not only to improve the team, but also to provide a better feedback to marketing that helps you improve things on the marketing side, that can help you send information on a standardized manner for the handover to the post-sales team. So kind of everything started from there. So 30 days, scout the land, understand what's going on, major roadblocks from people management, from team structure to processes and platform. Then 60 days to 90 days is the time that I usually have to fix those main things, to work on the main projects. And usually this is a good testament to see how the team is going to react on working with you. Are they going to work with you? Do they buy the ideas that you have? Do they understand the benefit of making all of the changes that you are presenting? And coming into a role directly on a C-level position in a company that didn't have that kind of role before, you kind of need to be smart on the way that you present those new changes and those policies. You cannot present everything at once because it's too much for the team to handle, but also you need to make sure that they are with you on this journey. And I think that if you move from 90 to 180 days in 6 months, you should be able to see that those major problems have been addressed and fixed already. And now you're working on improvements. You're working on those things that you thought you were going to do since the beginning. In my case was to start doing forecasting now with the data that we had, have a better understanding of how successful we're being depending on the regions that we're selling. What are the lead generation sources that are more valuable to us, to have a higher conversion rate, a higher sales ticket. So I think it's all about, and then I go back to the understanding the customer journey. And the process that I did was phasing out that implementation on different improvements to the sales journey to get to the point where, okay, this is the basics that we needed to get to. Now we can start working on improvements and the really interesting stuff that everyone wanted to work on.
Got it. Did you use any outside resources for any of that analysis, or did you do it all yourself?
I did it all myself during this process. In the midway through that, after 1 year roughly in the company, we moved from Pipedrive into HubSpot, and then we had an agency helping us with the implementation, at least the first phase of the implementation. Now I have an in-house team that is handling HubSpot, the RevOps team is handling. But most of that process was basically internal.
Okay. Well, great. This has been really helpful. I really appreciate the insights you're providing. I have one more follow-up question for you. I guess it's like two of them. One is, what would be like the top three things that you'd be advising both a incoming chief revenue officer and also a CEO of a company that's hiring a chief revenue officer to make sure that the appointment of the CRO is successful?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think if you're someone looking for becoming a CRO or you're new to this position, is one of the main things that I would say is really get yourself situated and learn a lot about revenue ops. I think a main part of being a successful CRO is being well-versed in revenue operations. If you're coming from a sales background, as I did, but you were not a data-driven salesperson, I was always a data-driven salesperson, you won't be able to be successful on this role just by being a showman. You need to understand about data, you need to understand about processes and what do they tell you. And if you're already a new CRO, new to the job, try to get a RevOps person with you as soon as you can, because that's going to be your right hand for everything that you need moving forward. So this is definitely one. The second thing that I would say is again, for me, most of this job is based on people management. Yes, the technical knowledge is amazing, but in the end, you are helping people solve problems or you're solving problems yourself. So if you're an amazing individual contributor, an amazing salesperson or a marketing person, but you didn't have that experience managing people, throw yourself out there before you go into a C-level position. I see a lot of people, you know, aiming for being a C-level in a smaller company without going through the steps of understanding if people management is what I want to do. There's a lot that come with that title, and most of that, it is working with people 80% of your time. And so these are the two things that I feel like could be very beneficial for someone new to the role or coming into the role. Now, for a CRO looking to hire that position, I think, first of all, try to look for someone that has achieved a lot through others, not achieved a lot by themselves, meaning that you're only as good as your team is. And especially with a CRO position, you're going to be multitasking, working multiple different projects at the same time. So look for professionals that were able to, whenever you're asking them or what are the achievements that they had, they use examples that involve, well, this is what my team was able to do with my guidance. Oh, this is what someone in my team was able to accomplish by the work environment that we created. I think this is extremely essential. And if you are in doubt about the CRO position, if this is exactly what you need or not, try to spend some time talking to existing CROs. Your VC, your founder, your investors can recommend you to have conversations with actual CROs that are working in that field to help you understand if this is actually what you need or not. And this can save you a lot of time along the way.
Okay, well, that's really great. Really helpful advice. Well, look, again, I want to thank you for the time you spent here and the great insights you provided. It's really helpful, and it's good to hear Chief Revenue Officer who agrees with the perspective we have on the role and actually has that role. You know, it's a nice thing to see. I think it's changing a lot. I think more CROs are becoming more customer owners than just sales leaders. I think it's starting to change a lot, but we still have work to do.
Great.
So go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it definitely we are something that I was going to mention is I think it's slowly, I think the CRO position, it's getting to a more common ground where people are starting to get almost the same perspective on the role. There are even executive education programs around what is a chief revenue officer, which is we're still to see if this is actually, you know, valuable or not. But yeah, definitely, I think we're on the right way forward. But thank you so much for the invite, Warren. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the CRO Insights podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode.